Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Stockholm, Sweden are Anna Romberg, who is a compliance consultant, and Michaela Ahlberg, who is Chief Compliance Officer at Yetinka, which is a medical device manufacturer. The two also are co-authors of the book, The Gray Zone, A Practical Guide to Corporate Conduct, Compliance, and Business Ethics. Michaela, Anna, thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you for having us, Adam.
Happy to have you. And let's start right in. You know, while a lot of discussion around the pandemic has been about changes to rules and thinking, you two make an interesting counter argument. Now is the time to go back to basics. What does that mean in practice? Anna, why don't we start with you?
Well, that's a great question. And for us, ethics and compliance, it's ultimately about leadership. It's about the decisions that are made and the decisions that are not made, about bringing up the difficult discussions and dilemmas. And now when we are, in a sense, in a perfect storm with a lot of ingredients for compliance failures and misconduct, the transparent discussions and recognizing that there may not be a perfect answer or perfect solution is really key. So for us, compliance is about supporting the right leadership, but also about leading yourself as a compliance professional in terms of, you know, our priorities and focus.
It certainly seems prudent for compliance teams to rethink their risk assessment since the whole risk profile has changed so dramatically lately, you know, if not starting all over again. Where should they begin? Michaela?
Thank you. Thanks. I think that at this time, looking at risk assessment, compliance risk assessment, which is in fact really only an assessment of human behavior and conduct in the company. And I think that when we look at human behavior and conduct and risks at this point of time, when we have a crisis, an external crisis that affects all of us, I think what is most interesting here is that we have to start really considering whose risk are we looking at? Are we looking at the company's risks, which is normally what we kind of assume? But in this type of environment where we are right now, I think it's very prudent to also start to look at, with our behavior, with our conduct, are we exposing other important stakeholders to risk? How is our behavior in the corporation affecting society, affecting the customers, affecting employees? And this is a question that has been coming up more and more here where I am based in Sweden and in Europe, because companies are getting, they are dependent right now in a crisis on society to help them. And then we might also take another look at how we in the business are supporting or exposing society and other stakeholders and the shareholders to risk. So that is, it gives the risk assessment another dimension, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like it very much does so. Anna, another area to look at is the relationship between the business unit and the compliance team. How should that relationship be changed?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily about a change, or it of course depends how the relationship looks like today, but it is all about ensuring a close and collaborative relationship. We cannot afford to have an us and them mentality. And in times like this, I mean, it becomes so evident that compliance, it's all about enabling business to support business and to secure business, to make sure companies can stay alive and, you know, not navigate in the wrong direction in these very challenging circumstances. So the relationships needs to be maintained, and also to maintain these informal discussions and an open line of communication to know when we should support and to ensure that we are not pulled in last minute. right, it's quite common that compliance is sort of called in when the deal is almost done. And in this situation, we cannot really afford this. There are so tight margins. So maintaining and ensuring a close and collaborative relationship, I think, is key to make sure that we really can support real time.
Now, one of the things that's being highly impacted is communication and education. You know, traditional face-to-face training right now largely isn't happening, other than a few companies who figured out how to do that, you know, doing things like Zoom. There's a lot of communication going out to employees. How should compliance professionals reassess their training strategies?
Oh, I think this is such a good question, because I have really had to reassess my view on training and communication, because I'm a little bit old school. So I have always worked with a lot of face-to-face trainings and interpersonal interaction with people. And that is how kind of I have built a platform of trust among people in the company and people in the industry. And now suddenly here I am sitting at home with a computer and two mobiles, and trying to figure out how to communicate with people and how to build a training strategy for the future. And I think that this crisis that we are going through is highly going to impact how we travel. So we have actually taken the opportunity to create a lot of longer and shorter films with ourselves and our colleagues, as trainers and as students and as playing the a dilemma game and doing everything that we normally do face to face. And we are now going to integrate these in the training library of the company, where we have training for salespeople and training for all sorts of different purposes, and set up and integrate these films or these trainings in the training curriculum that we do for each category of people, employees in the company, or, you know, for everybody. So, and actually that has been great fun, because to try to work with creative people who think, for me, differently from how I have been thinking all my life. So that has been a very good side effect of this crisis. And then I have to kind of reserve and save the face-to-face trainings for when I'm anyway traveling, or we are anyway traveling for another purpose, and there is a meeting for another purpose.
Yeah, it'll be it's interesting as you're saying that. You know, I think a lot of people are sitting here thinking, well, I really can't do it, even interviews with my people, because we're spread out. But in an era in which we're seeing television shows produced with all the performers in their own home just recording things, it really shows that the limits are not as great as we might think. Now, communication goes two ways, which means, you know, both being able to communicate out, but also being able to hear back from employees. How should we be thinking or rethinking compliance helplines and other inbound communication vehicles?
Yeah, this is really the challenge as I see it. And we can do a lot of things online. And I think it's great that we actually rethink our training strategies and do more online and are more virtual and creative. But really to get the concerns from the ground, I mean, this is something I've been discussing with many compliance officers, because usually, you know, when we travel, we go somewhere, we have a training workshop. There are some questions during the workshop, but then the really sensitive questions, they come after the workshop. You know, they come one, two persons linger in the room after everybody's left, and then they are, you know, raising a concern or something like that. And that's not something that you really can do virtually. So I think companies have already struggled to get in all cases and have people reporting. And how do you do it in an environment where people are really isolated? So But I think here, just to enforce the communication around the channels that are available and to make sure the compliance team is visible, that employees know they can and should reach out. But here, I actually think that you know, some kind of physical presence from the compliance team will always be necessary to build the trust among employees. So I don't think compliance team can go fully virtual. I don't know, Mikaela, if you disagree.
No. And I know I'm struggling to say something intelligent here, but I really think that you need to build a really solid foundation of trust to make people do something that they intuitively do not want to do, which is talk about difficult things or speaking up or putting themselves in an awkward or difficult position by complaining or speaking about their colleagues. So and this level of trust is difficult to create unless you actually sit in front of the person and work together more face to face. So if that option is not at all available, we are going to have to work really hard to build a similar level of trust among our colleagues.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of challenges out there that we're facing as we, in some ways, are more connected than ever via technologies, but on the same time, we're a lot more separated than we ever were. Mikaela, Anna, thank you both for taking the time to talk to us today and indulging the time zone differences between Los Angeles and Sweden. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.